This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an interactive demonstration by an artist preserving cultural traditions at Jazz Fest, a block party in the Warehouse Arts District, or a feel-good story as an old school in Treme is transformed into homes for artists, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. It's weekend two for the 49th New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, presented by Shell. As you travel the grounds from one big musical act to the next, you'll also find artists preserving cultural traditions. Diane Killeen is one of the artists you'll find in the Louisiana Folklife Village. She specializes in decorative painting and historic restoration. Diane, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us, how are you preserving our city's cultural traditions through your work?
My background is in historic preservation with decorative painting and gilding arts.
And it's a big mantle that you have decided to carry to preserve that art. What attracted you to the art of preservation and restoration?
It's a passion that I take very seriously because all of these techniques are dying arts that a lot of people are unaware of. We have plaster preservation and restoration, gold leaf gilding, many techniques such as wood graining, marbleizing, dyeing trades that have been around for centuries that people don't know how to do.
When did you know that this would be your life's work?
I was an art major in college. My father was a business school professor, and he said, "What are you going to do with your life?" I said, "I don't know."
Heavy question.
Yes. I was able to find this program through the City and Guilds of London's Decorative Painting and Restoration Program that was offered at the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina, when I was living there. So we worked on the estate. We were preserving all of the original decorative finishes to the home. And from that, I was able to travel with different conservation companies around the country and put the pieces back together for all of our beautiful historic landmark properties, mansions, and homes that are just getting old in the United States. So being an artist, it was hard for me to find my work on a canvas because it has to come from inside, whereas historic work is there for you. You have to research it. Got to find the colors, what was actually used originally, the exact same techniques, the pigments, everything, and put it back to its original existence. That's the challenge.
And what a great place, your hometown, New
Orleans. I know, I'm home. I
get provided fertile ground for this work.
Absolutely.
Tell us about some of your recent projects.
One that I'm very proud of is the ceiling restoration at Ladder Library. It was damaged post-Katrina due to environmental damages. We were able to save and preserve the original canvases that are on the ceiling. And I think what I'm most proud of after a big job like that is when someone walks in and says, "So what did you do?" And I smile and I say, "Look up and take notice of all the beautiful handcrafted artwork that's there, from the plaster work to the hand painting, gilding elements that are there." Luckily for me, I grew up going to Ladder Library. I wasn't much for studies, but I would daydream and look at the ceiling. So for me, it was a full circle event.
A labor of love.
I know, I loved it.
You also did some decorative plaster work at the Roosevelt Hotel?
I did. They had water damage as well, and a big pendant fell out of the coffered ceiling, and I was able to rebuild it, take a mold, and recast it in plaster, and they were able to install it back up.
Tell us a little bit about your studio.
On any given day in my studio, you will find possibly a frame restoration. I work a lot with the Historic New Orleans Collection. You will find sample boards for contemporary settings. What I like about taking the historical techniques that I've learned is to adapt them into a contemporary setting for private homeowners and decorators alike, and getting to be more of an artist in that way, taking what I've learned and expanding on that.
And what will you be demonstrating in the Louisiana Folklife Village at Jazz Fest?
We're going to be demonstrating wood graining, which will be a hands-on exhibit for people to come and give it a go for themselves. We have mold making. I'll have some molds of a plaster medallion that we can pull off, and people can see the process of how to restore these beautiful pieces. And we'll have a lot of educational work regarding the gilding that I do, which is traditional water gilding. You'll find that mostly in framework. It's such a treat to put those back together, because over the years, there's different fads that happen. People put paint on beautiful gold leaf, so we remove that paint and restore it to its natural beauty.
That's pretty cool. How are you working to keep this cultural tradition alive for future generations?
Well, I'm a member of the Society of Gilders, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the education and preservation of gilding arts. And we are constantly holding classes and conferences to educate people about the dying trade of gilding. I often have students that want to learn materials restoration in my studio that do internships that are maybe studying preservation at Tulane or are just interested in their artists trying to find their way. So I feel very strongly in the education side of what I do, because that's the only way that these trades are going to carry on and survive.
Decorative painter Diane Killeen, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
The second weekend of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, presented by Shell, runs Thursday through Sunday at the New Orleans Fairgrounds. You'll find artist Diane Killeen in the Louisiana Folklife Village. And after Jazz Fest on Saturday evening, there's still more partying across town as the annual Jammin' on Julia celebration gets underway in the Warehouse Arts District. This year, the festive art stroll is kicked up a notch as it falls on Cinco de Mayo. Marcela Correa, Executive Director of the Arts District New Orleans, is here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell us, what is it that you're doing to attract folks down to the Arts District? You've got a rebranding program going on?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago when I started with the Arts District, we basically did a full force rebranding of the Arts District. A lot of people know that the Arts District has been around since the 90s when Arthur Roger moved to Julia Street and there were a few other galleries who started the association. But there was no real cohesive kind of way of branding and putting out messaging and all this kind of stuff that goes into that. Since then, you know, we've been trying to be a little bit better about putting out that message and promoting it, even through social media. We've been more active on that end to try and reach all kinds of demographics and ages. We've been pushing that forward. We are a business association, and we really focus on promoting our members. We have 13 member galleries. We have our museums, you know, the Ogden Museum, the Contemporary Arts Center, the World War II Museum, and about 25, 30 what we call Friends of the Arts District, which include restaurants. We have quite a few hotels, and we promote the district as an alternative location to come and visit. What we are trying to do is show people that we're so much more than just the French Quarter. Not that there's anything wrong with the French Quarter. We love the French Quarter. But there's more than just Bourbon Street and drinking. You know, that we have incredible galleries all over New Orleans. The bulk of the contemporary art galleries are on Julia Street, but we have great galleries on Royal and all over the place. So for us, it's really just to drive people to this location, which is now booming.
And there's a lot to celebrate. The annual Jammin' on Julia Arts Extravaganza falls this year on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. We're celebrating so many cultures as the city celebrates its 300th birthday. How are you combining the celebrations, and what can we look forward to?
We have started a wonderful connection with the Mexican Consulate of New Orleans and also the Hispanic Heritage Foundation. You know, it is the tricentennial year. They just opened up a really wonderful exhibition in the Cabildo of Spanish art and Spanish influence in the city, which I think a lot of people tend to forget. You know, people are like always thinking of the French side of our history, and they tend to forget the Spanish side when we talk about New Orleans. And, you know, after Katrina, we had such an influx of Latin communities come and help us rebuild. And I just feel like by trying to connect with these communities, you know, we want them to be a part of art. Art is for everyone. Our galleries are so diverse.
Let's talk about the gallery highlights. What will we see and who are some of the artists that are being represented?
We have about 13 galleries in the Arts District. So you've got some craft and artists that you're going to see at Jazz Fest at the Ariodante Gallery. Arthur Roger Gallery has John Alexander, which we've seen his works at NOMA, also at the Ogden. Boyd Satellite has a wonderful abstract show of Deborah Pelias. Then you've got Jonathan Farrar Gallery, who has two incredible shows. The first is Paul Valinsky, which a lot of people recognize his work with the butterfly installations. And then in the back gallery, we have Carlton Scott Sturgill, who does a lot of work with cutting out Ralph Lauren t-shirts and doing these beautiful flower installations. One of his flower installations will actually make a special appearance on the outside of the gallery.
This is going to be a part of the street activities on Julia?
Yes. We'll be closing the 300 to 500 blocks of Julia Street, but we do have two galleries that are off of Julia Street, one on Camp and one on Chapultepec. On the street, there will be about five different public art sculptures and food and drink available all along the 300 to 500 block of Julia Street. We'll also have a wonderful light projection by Brennan Steele, which some of you might have seen when you were at LunaFet.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be on Octavia Art Gallery, which we're really excited about. We'll also have the Court 13 El Toro, which was also featured at LunaFet. We'll have the wonderful Michael Fiducia and the electronic second lines led by Cash, the mobile DJ booth. So he'll be going up and down the street to kind of get that crowd motivated. And we will have some special guest appearances from the Golden Eagles Mardi Gras Indians.
Wow.
We've got tons going on. We have music. We'll have a stage on the 500 block of Julia Street. And then we'll have a stage on the 300 block of Julia Street. Some of the headliners are the Jen Howard Band, the Bon Bon Vivant. Helen Gillet will actually be playing inside of Arthur Roger Gallery. We'll also have the Mariachi Jalisco, which are sponsored by the Mexican Consulate, and they are, as I've been told, the best mariachi band in the state of Louisiana. We'll have a salsa dance group, special guest appearances with the Jailhouse Rockers, and some of the Marie Antoinettes will be walking around as well. I think from 6 to 11 p.m., people will not be bored. There's a little bit of everything.
That's quite a lineup.
Yes.
What is your plan moving forward to make this district a must-see attraction for visitors?
Focusing on trying to make our first Saturday gallery openings exciting and different every month, whether that's doing a big event like this, we're doing something on a smaller scale, but highlighting a particular aspect that month. And then just trying to create better partnerships with our businesses.
Marcela Correa, Executive Director of the Arts District New Orleans. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having me.
Jammin' on Julia, sponsored by the Downtown Development District, takes place Saturday evening, May 5th, from 6 until 11 in the Warehouse Arts District. It is free and open to the public. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. And we're not through celebrating. The former Bell School in Treme is back in service. The French neo-Gothic building is now home to artists and cultural workers, occupying 79 affordable units on the historic campus. WWNO's Eileen Fleming has this report.
2 years ago, the empty classrooms had piles of plaster, evidence of the damage inflicted by Hurricane Katrina. A chain-link fence surrounded the two-block campus. The national nonprofit ArtSpace coordinated a $38 million grant to redevelop the property that was in dismal condition. Project manager Joe Butler took me on a tour at the time of the main building. We had to watch our step. There was no electrical service, and the structure was badly in need of repair. Here's a snippet from that tour.
I hope I'm not surprised by some little critter.
Yeah. Most of them have been driven out by now. We've been in here way too much. But I'm sure they do scurry around.
So this Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The critters are long gone. The hallways are bright and clean. New eye-level wainscoting was made to replicate the panels that didn't survive the water damage. All the wood flooring has been restored. We met some residents in the old classrooms as they were getting ready for a community party to celebrate the reopening. Sally Stevens is a writer who is now living in a studio unit overlooking the campus at 2100 Ursuline Avenue. She moved from an old Camelback house uptown.
So I was going through this constant stream of roommates, you know, Tulane students coming in, and just so I could pay the rent. And it was just, you know, and it was an old drafty house with a bathroom that really needed renovation.
So for you, it works?
It really, really works. You know, I just turned 65, so I really needed to be around artists and people who work in the arts and that sort of thing.
How does that contribute to quality of life that your neighbors are also artists?
Well, in terms of really developing the cultural economy and the cooperative economy and artists and worker-owned in this city, I think it's going to help us scale up enormously. People have a hard time going to a meeting when it's on the other side of town, but when it's just down the hall, they'll make time for it.
The windows are amazing.
They really are. The windows, you know, and I kind of choose where I live according to the windows. And these are the best windows I've ever had in my life.
And your kitchen's nice and sweet?
Yeah, there's no, you know, dishwasher, there's no microwave, there's no ice maker. It's kind of simple, but I like it that way.
On an upper floor is Rukia Brown, who is active in Mardi Gras Indian tribes.
Oh, it's a wonderful space. I've met so many different people.
Where did you used to live?
I was at Ashe Cultural Arts Center, uptown. I was in a studio up above Ashe, which is going through renovations now.
And what do you have here?
I have a bedroom.
What is your art form?
I'm a mixed media artist. I make dolls, D-O-L-L. Because some people with my accent think I might be saying dog, but it's dolls.
Dolls. Okay.
And I mass. I'm one of the culture bearers, a Mardi Gras Indian.
Wow.
And I mass with Creole Wild West.
But how long have you been in New Orleans?
Oh, wow. We're from Jackson, Louisiana.
Okay.
And was a migration into New Orleans from the plantation, so I can go back in my genealogy from 1817.
Butler says rents range from about $500 to $750 a month, depending on income and unit size. And tell me about the people who live here.
We've got a great group of residents that really are reflective of New Orleans. We've got seniors and artists and young folks. All of our 79 units are affordable. We did not keep a Treme specific in terms of zip code, log of any kind, but anecdotally, we know there are lots of people from the neighborhood and from New Orleans, so we're quite pleased about that.
Gloria Ward is now in a loft in a separate brick building behind the main school. She moved to Metairie from Chicago when she retired 8 years ago. She was familiar with Treme because she's had a community garden nearby for several years.
I'm a dress designer.
Okay.
I design clothes and I teach art to kids, and I'm a gardener. I have a community garden four blocks over, so I enjoy living here in the community because I can get up every day and go to my garden. I've been gardening here in this community for the last 6 years. I used to have the Treme garden on Villa, so I would come from Metairie over here every day to garden. And I do a lot of community things here. I feed the homeless. Every November, I feed the homeless to a sit-down dinner here up under the bridge. And I do a free gospel concert here in the city for the seniors. So I do a lot of work here in New Orleans for the seniors and giving back.
What are you growing?
Watermelon, cantaloupe, cucumbers, mustard, collards, onions, eggplant, celery, sage, oregano, blackberries, strawberries, muscadines.
Grapes. You must be popular with your neighbors.
Yes, I had someone stop in my garden yesterday, a lady, and she says, I just left the doctor's, and they said I need to have greens, and I'm not feeling good. And I said, well, sit down. And then I gave her a bag of mustard, greens, and onions. Oh. I said, go home and take care of your greens.
At the official opening ceremony, some residents opened their units to display their work. As the sun set, singers with Creole opera performed some rarely heard works. For Inside the Arts, I'm Eileen Fleming.
That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.